Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So, when I was a kid, my friends and I used to play this game, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, should have heard about this game. If not, I'll be welcoming you. We can play it together. It's called King of the Hill. Everyone, raise your hand if you know that game. King of the Hill. If not, that's okay. I'll describe what it is. It was one of my very favorite games growing up. We would all run outside and we'd find this dirt pile, a rock, whatever it might be. Sometimes it was a ladder. Sometimes it got even more dangerous than that. But anything we could really climb up on, okay? And as we did that, the first kid to the top of that rock pile, we'll just say rock pile this morning, would claim their kingdom and shout, "I'm the king of the hill." And then the rest of us would charge that person, charge their kingdom, and try to tear them down, push them off the top so that we or someone could become the new king of the hill. We all wanted to take their kingdom over. Each attack on the king was in some way an unspoken demand for proof, right? If you are really the king, prove it. Defend yourself. Show us your power. Show us your strength. Show us your might. Save yourself and your kingdom, because if you don't, I'm going to take it for myself. Each one of us wanted to make it to the top of the dirt pile and yell, "I am the king of the hill." It's a great game. We had a ton of fun. But there is a problem. You see, the kids grew up, but we never stopped playing the game. Right? We never stopped playing the game. We became adults, and the game became a way of life. Right? Way of life. Our dirt piles became success and money. Our dirt piles became power and control, reputation and popularity. For some, dirt piles became our families, our children, our friends, or the fairy tale of living life happily ever after. Others climbed the dirt piles of being right, being holy, or patriotic. Often our dirt piles became ways of thinking. Political parties, social groups. Our nation and even our church have become king of the hill playgrounds. Our ideologies, those things that we believe with all of our heart and are true and are the way of the world, our ideologies, even if they differ from someone else's, are our dirt piles. Some dirt piles are larger than others. There are all sorts of kingdoms out there. Each one of us can probably name the dirt piles in our own lives. I know I can. The dirt piles on which we have played king or queen of the hill. The adult version of king of the hill is about filling up our emptiness that we experience, or fighting our fears, and ultimately establishing some type of order and control for our lives. What began as a child's game has become the reality of our lives. For many of us, life is a constant scrambling to establish and maintain our little kingdoms. To convince ourselves as much as anyone else that we are okay, that we are enough, that we are the king or the queen of our little world. That, my friends, is a very hard way to live life. Today is the celebration of Christ the King. It's Christ the King Sunday. It celebrates and reminds us that playing King of the Hill does not have to be the final reality of our lives. Life can be different. We don't have to spend our lives trying to get to the top of a 3-foot pile of dirt. We don't have to spend our lives trying to keep balance on top of a lifeless rock. Christ the King invites us to stop playing the game. Because life does not have to be, nor was it ever intended to be, an ongoing game of King of the Hill. The hard part is that if we choose to stop playing the game, that means that we must give up our little kingdoms. We cannot celebrate Christ the King while we continue fighting our way up the dirt pile. We can have one or the other, but we cannot have both. Today, we will again pray later in the service, "Thy kingdom come." It rolls off our tongues with ease and with ultimate familiarity. But I wonder if we really know what we're asking for, and do we really truly mean it? Because implicit in that prayer is the request, "My kingdom go." Thy kingdom come. My kingdom go. It's one thing to pray for God's kingdom to come. It's a whole other thing to let our kingdom go. After all, we've been kings and queens of our own kingdoms for a very long time now. Or at least we've convinced ourselves that we have. It's not easy to let go of our kingdoms. And more often than not, I think that we try to negotiate a deal with God. "Okay, God, prove to me that you are the king, and then I'll step down. Show me evidence of your kingdom, and then I'll let go of mine. I promise." The leaders, the soldiers, one of the criminals, they all want the same thing. They want to see proof that Christ is the king. They want to see evidence of his kingdom. We all do. We all yearn for that knowledge. After all, if Jesus is really, truly the king, the one to rule our lives, and if we are supposed to believe that, then let him prove it. Save yourself if you are the Messiah of God. Save yourself if you are the King of the Jews. Aren't you the Messiah? Then prove it. Save yourself and me. One level, we want to see Jesus come down from the cross. We want to see his wounds disappear. We want to see a well-dressed king, one with physical strength, military might, and one with political power. We want to see something spectacular, something beyond the realities of our ordinary life, right? At a much deeper level, however, these demands are about more than just Jesus saving himself from death or from physical pain or from political defeat. At a deeper level, we are crying out, "Save yourself and us and me from my own lack of understanding. Save yourself and us from our need to control everything around us. Save us from the fear that this little dirt pile that I call my kingdom is all that there is to my life. Show me that there's more. Right now. Prove who you are." But he won't do it. At least not in the way that we usually want, right? Not at all. Jesus will not offer us proof of his kingship. Instead, he offers us the kingdom. He invites us to share in his kingship that happens in the silence of deep, deep love. The leaders are scoffing at Jesus. Jesus responds with silence. The soldiers are mocking him. And Jesus responds with silence. One of the criminals derides him. Jesus responds with silence. Everyone is demanding proof. None are getting what they ask for. Jesus doesn't take himself or the criminals off of the cross. Jesus doesn't answer the leaders. He refuses to respond to the soldiers. Jesus is silent. In that silence, the other criminal begins to understand. It's not about getting proof of Christ's kingship. It's about letting go of our own kingship. It's about coming down from our own little piles of dirt and realizing that we already are and always have been royal members of God's holy kingdom. This realization underlies the criminal's voice, the criminal's cry. Jesus, remember me. Remember me, not because of what I've done or what I have left undone. Remember me, regardless of those things. Remember me, not because of who I am, but because of who you are. His cry is to be remembered. His cry is the cry of one who has emptied himself of everything. He's let go of every last bit of his kingdom, of his dirt pile, and whose very life and existence are entrusted to the God who remembers. That is the reign of Christ. The reign of Christ does not mean we now have all the answers. Boy, I wish it did, right? I wish we had all the answers. It does not mean that everything in your life is now fixed. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? It doesn't. It doesn't mean that everything in your life has been fixed. It doesn't mean that there's no more pain. I wish that wasn't true. I wish it did mean there was no more pain. Or that every problem in your life has been eliminated. We still have all of that. Jesus will not take us off of our crosses. Instead, and I think this is the found part. Instead, Jesus gets up there with us. He doesn't fix our lives. Instead, he enters into the reality of our ordinary existence. We are remembered, and right there in the reality of our everyday life, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our dying, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our guilt, Christ the King says to us these words. And I'm going to leave it here. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.